for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday afternoon, July the 2nd, 1987. Midsummer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is tape one of two tapes on the occult by Tom Hodgen of Atlanta, Georgia. Learn, and we're going to get some help. The Lord's going to help all of us as we listen. And this evening, why, ministering and teaching us again what we need to know so that we can be overcomers. Amen. Brother Tom.
Thank you, Brother Blondo. I might forget it if I don't say it now. The Lord opened the way, and we went to Trinidad in the West Indies. And he opened the door into some homes of quite wealthy people. Before we left, we had between 35 and 40 Hindus saved. Then we cast demons out of all of them. Then they all got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was something. I just went around with my mouth open watching the Lord do what he did. And do you happen to know Chris Ramsahai from Trinidad? I want you and Chris to meet. We're going with it. We're going with him to the Philippines and then Korea this fall. We go with him at least once a year. But you'd enjoy him. And I'll tell you. You know, when I heard the music today and I saw Bill playing that accordion, I heard him, the thought came to me, I bet he was with Paul in that jail. Thank the Lord for it. Do this with me. I want you to pray what they call the Lord's Prayer, which is really the disciples' prayer. Yes. Say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Whenever we pray that twice, it talks about the kingdom of God. Now, the Word of God tells us, Jesus himself said, if I with the finger of God cast out demons, then no doubt the kingdom of God has come into you. As far as I can find, there is nowhere else in the New Testament, that's the only place you'll find it, where it says, no doubt the kingdom of God has come into you. The prime, seemingly number one purpose or knowledge of the kingdom of God coming is that you're casting out demons. Jesus, another, that was in Luke 11:28. In Matthew 10:28, it says, Jesus said, if I, with the Spirit of God, cast out demons, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Put them together. You have the finger of God, and you have the Spirit of God. The finger of God is the Spirit of God. But it's like shooting with two different instruments. Scatters the shot and covers a large area. The finger of God is like a rifle. It goes directly, hits one thing. I believe the finger of God is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that you should not cast out demons except by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You may say, well, what gifts then do you use? You use the gifts of a word of knowledge. That happens to come to me by pictures. I close my eyes. God shows a picture. Praying with a preacher in Texas. We've been working for about an hour and a half together. I closed my eyes and said, Lord, what next? Is there anything more? God gave me a picture of a sort of a wooden platform and an engine out of a car sitting on the platform. So I said to this brother, I see the platform, I see the engine. How does that relate to you? Usually he gives me the picture and they interpret the picture. Well, he said, I had a car, I wrecked in my car. And he said, it's all messed up. So I said, I called my insurance dealer and evidently must have been a friend. The agent said, was a very bad guy. It ruined the body of the car. Total loss. Well, what about the engine? It ruined it too. So they sent him a check for the engine and the body. But he took the engine out and sold it for several hundred dollars, and God showed the place where the man came to pick up the engine. You can't get out of that one. That nailed him, bang, just like that. So I said, well, what's your demon? He said, lying. I said, we already got lying. They said, stealing. I said, that's right, stealing. So we cast our demon, stealing and thievery. I believe that it ought to be done this way. We didn't realize that till after we'd been in deliverance quite a while. And one day I prayed for a man. When I closed my eyes, here's a picture. So I opened my eyes to show you how dumb I was. Opened my eyes, and I blinked them to get rid of that picture. Closed my eyes, and here's a picture again. So I said to the man, hey, does such and such mean anything to you? He said, yeah, when I was 10 years old, went on to tell about it, and we found a demon. Now, that had worked in me before, but I didn't know it. I had met someone else who had done it, and that it worked that way. I learned deliverance from the Derek Prince and Don Basham, and they didn't move in that direction. But each person may have a different method. How many of you have ever worked at all in deliverance? You've cast out demons. Let me see your hands. Unusual crowd. Strange bunch. But seriously, you beware about judging the method that another brother or sister uses.
Amen. Amen.
Don't ever do it. I heard a man preach who was, oh, they just thought he was something. But he stood there and made fun of those who have deliverance, and they have buckets, and they have so forth, and they vomit the buckets, and they spit up, and they cough, and they carry on. He just ruined it. I never went back to hear him again. I felt a man who had that much judgment against another brother in the Lord wasn't too much. He'd already stopped my listening anyhow to that. So don't judge it by another. I feel I'm moved by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I see others who say to someone, what problems do you have? And they say, well, this and this, and so they cast them out. That's detection. And there's no sin against casting out demons by detection. You know, a husband lives with a wife. She knows his demons. He knows her demons by living together. It's known by detection, or might be detention. But they learn it in that particular way. So don't put down any method they use. If God is behind it, praise the Lord, and go on from there. We use it other ways. Sometimes they'll look at a person's eyes, and I can tell the demons are looking out. I'll say, demon, say your name. And sometimes the demon takes over and tells its name. We cast it out by that. Or words come to their mind. Now I say, what words are in you? Well, I get the word hate, or I get the word lust. Whatever may come, you command the demon to say its name. It may not take over the mouth and the vocal cords, but it may release its name, and so you get it from there. You just use what God leads you to use, and you'll be all right. If you're going to look with me, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. While you turn, Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of what? Now you know that. So I believe it's very important. When I go to a whole conference, usually we cast out no demons out of anyone till I've taught at least three times, two or three times. Because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Those of you who have just come in lately, sorry about this voice, but I'm glad to have any at all. Seem to picked up some hoarseness somewhere. Isaiah 5:16 says, my people are taken captive for lack of understanding. So you need to be taught. We need to learn. And as Irma just said, and Brother Glenn, I always learn from people. Mind what I've learned this week, both in deliverance and otherwise. But 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly, that in the latter times, are we in them? We sure are. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The word should be demons. Usually when the King James says devils, it should have said demons. Daimon is the word in the Greek, and should not be translated devil. Sometimes there's devil there, but most of the time it's demons. We cast out demons, not devils. There's one devil, many, 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 many demons. But don't get too technical. If you call them devils, the demons will come out. They know who their boss is, so don't get hung up in words. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or demons. speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, the seared conscience is not people, it's demons. Demons have no conscience at all whatsoever, forbidding to marry and on. Then go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, it doesn't say much about Timothy or anything else, but I believe he cast out demons. He knew too much about them to not cast them out. But in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That's a word we don't use much, but it means they can't restrain themselves, and particularly in sexual things, the Greek there is indicating, for incontinent. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. What's the power thereof? The Holy Spirit. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Let me drop this in. You work in deliverance, men, don't you ever cast demons out without either your wife there or another man. Someone, don't ever cast them out of a person by yourself, a man out of the other. Sometime when you command a demon, say its name, it looks you up and down several times and says, lust. You better wish your wife was there or some other man. Do not cast demons out of a woman, man, by yourself. If you say, well, the situation required it. No, it didn't. She had those demons 20 years. Right. Wanted her to have them a little bit longer.
That's right.
You get someone there with you. Now, Brother Glenn said that when they cast demons out here individually, they like to have someone on the staff to be there. Wise, wise, wise. Do it. And don't break that rule. Then number 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres, they were magicians, occult, which did Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning their faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their father shall be manifested unto men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch in Iconia, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured out of them. All the Lord delivered me out of them all, and so forth. 12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And all who cast out demons are going to get it in the neck. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, and so forth. Now, he warns us in the last days, demons are going to become more active. Used to be way on, we've only been doing it 18 years. And back there, demons did acted more in a concealed darkness type of thing than they do now. Right? And they're coming out in the, not only the woodwork, but they're coming out in the open and working like and acting like they've never done before. We can see that progression of that they're just becoming more brazen and more open in this matter of demons and the like. Now, I can't take all I want to teach today, but let me take it this way. I'll cut some things short. Luke 4, Jesus cast out demons. Don't turn. And, well, you better turn. I don't like to gloss over it because there may be some new people here. Some that have come have not heard. Luke 4. We find out that Jesus has been tempted of the devil, went to the wilderness, there was tempted, and 40 days and 40 nights, I believe the devil tempted him all that time, every day, almost all day and all the nights. Then he came to the place where the devil in person and Jesus, and it recorded it. And face to face, he tempted Jesus. On the first one, Jesus said, when the devil tempted him, it is written. What did he say on the second one? It is written. What did he say on all of them? It is written. When he stood on what he knew was in the Word of God, the devil lost it. Now, the devil is a loser, and every demon is a loser. Don't you forget that. You may come to some cases that require fasting and so forth, but regardless of what it is, the devil's a loser, and every demon under him, every fallen angel — I don't believe demons are fallen angels, some do, that's fine, doesn't matter, really. Demons are demons. So the devil, the demons, and the fallen angels, they're all losers. They know it. They just won't admit it. The devil's a loser, and he knows he cannot win, but he's just dumb enough that he thinks he's going to. So he keeps on as if he's going to be the victor. Don't you believe it. But he cast out demons. He spoke, and then the fourth chapter, verse 18. He went to the synagogue, as his custom was. When he was there, they brought in the book of Isaiah, and in Isaiah 61:1, verse 18, he read this to the people. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Don't you do anything without the anointing. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives — that's deliverance, that's casting out demons — recovering of sight to the blind, that can be casting out demons, to set at liberty them that are bruised, that can be casting out demons, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And what's that? Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Let that be your faith as you work with people in deliverance. It's not going to be 10 months from now. God wants them delivered now. Some take longer than others, perhaps, but God will continue it. He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so forth. So know that he'll do that. Now, he went from there to Capernaum, verse 31. Well, again, let's take 28. I'm trying to cover too much. Verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him under the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Jesus spoke the truth. The demons in the people, or the wrath, rose up in them. They took him to the edge of the city, and they're going to throw him over the cliff. Now, their demons were what took over, because first they praised him. The people praised him. Now the demons got angry. They want to kill him. Verse 30. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. It doesn't say how that happened, but I believe I know how it happened. So do you, if you've worked in deliverance very long. I believe it just, Jesus just kind of softly said, all right, you demons of anger, temper, rage, violence, murder, and wrath, I bind you in my name. You cannot touch me. And he just walked right back through the crowd, on out of there, to where he was going to go. I know that's true, because at Rock Eagle, we were casting demons out, and I was working with the lady, and someone came and said, Derek Prince wants you up front. And I said, just a minute, I cast the next demon out and bound any others. Came forward, and Tom, would you take care of this man over here? Well, I didn't know he'd already picked up a metal chair and thrown it against a wall. And so I sat down next to him, and he was sitting facing this way, and I faced him this way and right close to him. And I looked at his eyes. I said, in the name of, and before I could finish it, kind of a flick of a wrist, and I was out of the chair and on the floor. I'm lying flat on the floor, and this guy picks up the metal chair, raises it like this, he's going to hit me with it. I said, in the name of Jesus, while I laid on the floor, I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. You can't move. And he stood there petrified. I said, now, brother, boy, he said, I don't know why I'm trying to hurt you. You're trying to help me, aren't you? And I said, yeah. And you, very carefully and easily, put that chair down. And so we did. And we went on from there and cast out demons. I didn't realize it until later, but that man was from Atlanta. And we live in Atlanta. No significance. I just happened to think of it. Now, in this particular text, looking at verse 4:33. And in the synagogue, we'd say in church. Interesting to me that the first time Jesus cast demons out of anyone, according to recording, it was in church. You think demons go to church? Every church service they go to. They don't go because they want to. They're assigned to it. They hate this praise and worship. They hate hearing you talk about Jesus. But the devil, the demons, the principalities and powers and so forth, assign them, and they have to go to mess up the church service. I almost pity them when they're... Sometimes I think, don't cast them out of the church service. Leave them in there. Let's torment them for a while. Then we'll cast them out. But he went, and he was in church. And a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, should be demon, cried out with a loud voice. That is, a demon cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Demons don't know everything. They knew who Jesus was, but they didn't know everything about what Jesus came to do. And they knew him to be the Holy One of God. Verse 35, Jesus rebuked him, rebuked the demon, not the man in the demon, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. Today we're not that polite. We say, demon, shut up. Come out in Jesus' name. And when the demon had thrown him in the midst, he went down the floor. He came out of him. I like these three words. Say them with me. And hurt him not. When you do New Testament deliverance, according to the New Testament, you will be hurt not. No way. Then it goes on. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? One of the Gospels it says, What new doctrine is this? And most people look at it like that. Where'd you get this teaching or doctrine? For with authority and power, it takes those two. He commandeth unclean spirits, and they come out. Unclean spirits and demons, same thing. The fame of him went out in every place of the country round about. If you cast out demons, people come to know it. We do nothing but counseling and deliverance. After pastoring churches 40 years, 25 as a Baptist and 15 as a charismatic, the Lord led us to resign, to not pastor, but to come and counsel kids on drugs, marriages and the like, and cast out demons, which we do 5-6 days a week. And there's so much of it. There's such a great need of it. We've trained some in Atlanta. Some are doing it. But people will know it. We don't have to advertise. People will come. You cast demons out of people, especially when they've been to psychiatrists and psychologists and in mental institutions. You cast demons out of them. It won't take long until they'll tell somebody else. They'll tell somebody else, and they'll tell someone else. You don't have to advertise. But now let's go from there to the very next verse, 38. And he arose out of the synagogue. Jesus left the church and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother, by the way, if you're a Catholic or might have been or used to be, this was Simon Peter, the first pope. The first pope had a mother-in-law. I knew you'd get it. You can't have a mother-in-law without being married. So the first pope was married. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. By the way, I checked this in the Catholic Bible. Reads the same way. They just don't read it or read it right. And they besought him for her. The prophet said, Jesus, would you go in and pray for my mother-in-law? And he stood over her, type of the resurrection, and rebuked the fever, not the woman. And it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now, if he spoke to a fever, and that was temperature of 103, 104, if Jesus spoke to the fever and the fever left the woman, what was the fever? It was a demon. Now, between the demon and the man who probably stood up in the church and yelled at Jesus and then threw the man on the floor before it came out, between that kind of a demon and the kind of a demon that nothing happened except he spoke to it and it left it very quietly, there's a lot of demons between the one that was so vocal and one that said nothing, the one that was violent and one that showed no expression of violence at all. A lot of difference between those two demons. So don't be surprised at anything that ends up being a demon. Casting demons out of someone in California, and the Holy Spirit said, teasing. I said, there's a demon of teasing in there. The boy started crying, and he said, yes, my daddy teases me, and he won't stop until I cry. So I said, we got to cast out a daddy before we cast out the boy. And daddy put the demon in the boy, by the way the daddy treated the boy. And just a little thing of teasing and teasing and teasing and teasing. So almost anything goes in this matter of casting out demons. But why do you cast out demons? Why do you want demons cast out? 10 out of 9 people have the wrong reason to have demons cast out. I did say 10 out of 9. They come because they're hurting. They come because they're an embarrassment to the family. They come because of some fleshly reason. But why did they cast these out? Number one, the man went to the synagogue to worship. You ought to cast out demons, and the first was worship, that you may worship the Lord Jesus Christ in a more complete way, without the interference of demonic spirits. Secondly, they cast the demons out of the woman in the home, and after the demons cast out, what did she do? Served. Two reasons. To worship God more. Secondly, to serve God and God's people more. If you have any other reason, it's the wrong reason. Coming that way, and I promise you, you will get deliverance. But I think sometimes the people we work with, beloved, and we go and go and go, and we don't see the results, and the demon doesn't come out, and we can't find the basis or the grounds for it, check back to find out, why did you come for deliverance? You may find out that they just came because, with the demon gone, my husband would be a better husband. With the demon gone, my wife would be better, or my kids, I can't stand them. They're driving me up a wall. Cast the demons out so I can stand to live with them. Beloved, that's not the Bible reason. Worship and serving, and I think you'll get them. Now, there are many other promises in the Word of God that it gives us, but, and don't turn to this, we don't have time, but Jesus promised in the Word of God in 1820 was, first, that He would be present if you ask Him to come in His name. So, Lord Jesus, you're already here, but if you weren't, when we do deliverance with anyone, we always say, Heavenly Father, because of any sins, cleanse us, fill us with Christ with the Holy Spirit. And then we say, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, you promise that if two or three will gather together in your name, you will be in the midst of them. Lord Jesus, we invite you to come. Be in this room. Usually my wife is there and I am there in the person who's gaining the deliverance. Come in this room. And then lead us by your Holy Spirit, that we may minister to them the way that you would minister to them, in Jesus' name. And so He promises in Matthew 18:20, He'll be there if you meet in His name. And then Matthew 18:19, He says, if any two will be what? In agreement. That's why He sent them out by twos to cast out demons. Check your Bible. So I have someone, it's don't cast out demons by yourself. You say, well, I can't always have somebody else. Then get somebody to be in agreement with you before you go. As I said before, don't cast them out unless you're under authority. And that authority is in agreement with what you're doing. You say, but I go to a church, the preacher doesn't believe Christians have demons, my wife doesn't believe it, or my husband doesn't believe it, I can't find anybody to believe it. They better quit it. And wait till God will give you someone who will be in agreement with it, or you're going to get hurt. Because it isn't Bible way to do it. Not being an authority or not having someone be in agreement with you. And then Matthew 18:18, it talks about binding and loosing. You use both of those as you work in deliverance. Now, I'm going to switch from there and go, well, let me say this. I was in Bogota, Colombia. And Pan American Missions is Assembly of God. And the brother who was a superintendent of it, Ignatius Guevara, who is now in heaven, had asked that we come. Brother who was a superintendent of it, Ignatius Guevara, who is now in heaven, had asked that we come. One of us went. I preached on deliverance, and the other brother preached on crucifying the flesh. I preached on demons one time. He preached on crucifying flesh the next. Good combination. Because if you don't crucify the flesh, they're going to walk back in again. So we went and we talked. And I taught everything, much more than I've taught you now. We came to the day for the deliverance. We came against them. Nothing happened. I knew something was wrong because this is a bunch of preachers. Hardest bunch there is. The smartest and the dumbest people in the Word of God. They'll know one thing and nothing else. It's just like when I was a Baptist, I thought, well, you can get to heaven without being a Baptist, but when you get there, you'll be ashamed of it. And then I got saved. I mean, I was always saved, but then I got delivered from being Baptist and I found out that all you got to do is be born again, and that there are Catholics and Lutherans and Methodists and Presbyterians, Episcopalians, and you name it, all kinds of them. That were born again, and they're all going to heaven. Some are going to get there before I did. But we find that in the Word of God, it only takes one thing. Be sure they're born again. Make sure they're born again. Don't cast demons out of lost sinners. They'll come right back again as soon as you turn your back or else before. But as I preached to these men, I was trying to get them to see that Christians can have demons, and their denomination taught no Christian can have a demon, because they didn't understand the spirit, soul, and body. You're born again in your spirit. Baptism, the Holy Spirit is in your spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes in, no demons can be in your spirit. Let's say my hands, your spirit. No demons can be in your spirit once you're born again. But they end up in the soul, mind, emotions, and will. You get that stinking thinking. You get that willy will. Get to where you can't do what God wants, or you can't even do what you want to do. The demons in the mind, the emotions, and the will, not in the spirit. No Christian could be demon-possessed. Well, these fellows all believed they could be. If you had one demon in you, you're a demon-possessed. And no one of Christians could be demon-possessed. They were right, but they're wrong on the other. So we came for the day of deliverance. Came against them, nothing happened. So I said in my spirit, Lord, how can I convince these preachers? And then I waited and I started to speak. And he said, I said to the men, men, you believe in being born again in the Holy Spirit of God, don't you? My interrupter called interpreters down there, interrupted me and told them in Spanish, and they said, amen, amen. I said, you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, don't you? Amen, amen. And then I said, don't you believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit of God? We should use them, we should walk in them. And the interpreter said to them that, and they all said, amen, amen. Then I had it. I said, during the time God has used me in deliverance, let's see what gifts. And God has used tongue interpretation, tongues and prophecy, healings, miracles, gift of faith, discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I said, men, at some time or other during deliverance, God has used every one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit through me. It was like dropping a lead balloon in water. It just went right on down. They didn't get it. We had to wait, but they came back. Point I want to bring, and later, and then we have it the next day. Point I want to bring is, if God, by the Holy Spirit, sometime or other uses all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, beloved, it must be important. And all God's people said? You didn't get me, all God's people said? Any ministry that requires all nine gifts, there must be something to it. It must be important. And they, or God wouldn't come at it that way. So expect any of them. As you're ministering to somebody, I like to give examples of cases, but can't do it. We've got to go on. Now, Jesus cast out demons. He called the 12. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 1. He called the 12 disciples, the original, the foundation upon which the church will be built. What did he do with them? Luke 9, then he called, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. What was the first thing he did when he called the 12 together? Gave them power and authority over all demons. Must be kind of important. Next chapter, chapter 10, verse 1. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face in every sitting place where he himself would come. He sent them out by two to cast out demons. Don't you do it otherwise. And then verse 17. Take 16. I love verse 16. Jesus is talking. Jesus said, he that heareth you heareth me. That's a consolation to me when I come against a demon and it thinks it doesn't have to come out or is too dumb to know otherwise. Jesus said, he that hears you hears me. If you're led by the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit of God. You're doing the name of Jesus. That demon doesn't stand a chance. Amen. Believe it. Stand on it. It is written. And then he says, he that despiseth me despiseth you. The demons will always despise you. He that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. Verse 17. Now he sent the 70 out. And it says, the 70 returned again with joy. Remember, J-O-Y. Saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us. In other words, they went out and they said, we found people that have demons. We command the demons to go out. And sure enough, almost surprised, they said, they came out. All excited about it. He said unto them, Jesus said to the 70, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And what does that mean? Why did Satan fall? Pride is the number one. Two, rebellion. He got so proud he went to rebelling against God. And then three, filthiness follows. So pride, he said to them, now Satan fell by pride. Don't you get proud because you can cast out demons. And it's hard not to. I have to confess we got proud at first. We commanded a demon of death to go out and the demon was paralyzing that woman's body. from head to foot, and she's getting worse. She couldn't even sit up. We had to hold her up, had to hold her eyelids open to keep her from going to sleep. And you cast the demon out, and that nurse was delivered of a demon of death. You get kind of feeling like this. But don't do it. Give the glory to God. Remember how it came about. So he said, don't get proud because you can cast out demons. Also, that tells us the devil is the loser. When he got cast out of the middle of heaven. There are three heavens, so Paul tells us. He says, I was carried to the third heaven. The first heaven, the presence of God, the place of authority, the throne of God, there's where Lucifer was. He was probably the highest created being. The first, probably, I think. That's conjecture. Somebody else might know more, but that's where I think of it. But he sinned against God, rebelled and so forth, and got kicked out. You know who I think kicked him out? Jesus. He's been kicking him out ever since. Out of temples, out of people, out of his work. So they kicked him out. But he ended up in the middle heaven. And that's where his headquarters are. That's where the principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, in the heavenlies. That's where they are. And they control the demonic things that take place on earth. So when Jesus said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound where? In his headquarters. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in the devil's headquarters. So you use binding and loosing in everyday life, plus for sure while you're doing deliverance. But we go on. Verse 19. Behold, I, Jesus said, give unto you, those who are casting out demons, Christians, power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Every demon will come under one of those two headings. He's in serpent group or the scorpion group. And then he says, over all the power of the enemy, that's the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Good. The promise is you who cast out demons, you won't get hurt. The person you're casting out of won't get hurt. Man, I've seen them drag two or three big full-grown men around the room. I've seen him lift someone off the floor with a hand. I've seen him take a leg and just go like that. A woman weighing about 100 pounds, two men couldn't hold her. Then it dawned on me, I learned slowly sometimes, it dawned on me, keep flesh away from flesh. Don't keep your cotton-picking hands off of them. Now, sometimes it's necessary. I think sometimes, as with the brother we prayed today, sometimes it's the thing you need to do, but be sure it's the Holy Spirit leading you. They need the touch of someone's loving hands on them. By the way, when you cast out demons, he says you minister the gifts of God. How? In love. If you can't cast out demons in love, forget it until you get the love. If the ministry is not in love, it's not of God. And many times, just the touch of a hand. And where's the anointing many times? It's in the hand. And so the anointing, and place it on the mind or whatever. But usually, and what my wife and I do, they sit across a room 6-8 feet from me in a lounge, and I sit on the chair. My wife's on the desk. We mark down every demon we cast out. They come back in a year, 2 years, 3 years. We have them come back 10 years later. We have a record of it, of everyone we've had deliverance with. But they stay on that lounge, and I stay in that chair, and my wife stays in her chair, and none of us come out of it. Once in a while, like the one lady that the demons picked her up and dropped her on the floor, when I had my eyes closed, I got up to help her up on the lounge. But usually speaking, we never touched them. You say, well, we always lay hands on them. Fine. Keep it up. Jesus did it. He laid hands on them. And so can you. I'm rather just is that they stay there and we stay here and never the twain shall meet. We find it's the better in the way we minister. But you do it like God leads you. You don't have to do it our way. Verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, Jesus is still talking, that the spirits or the demons are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's the first thing. Don't cast demons out of them unless you know they are saved, because they'll turn them every way but loose. I believe seven more besides the one that went out, that totals eight, will come back in again. As I said the other day, I believe that scripture is for lost sinners, does not apply to Christians. They'll work on the Christians like they do in the lost sinner, but if they get back in, I don't believe it's a seven for everyone that went out. Seven more. Because of, as I told the other day. Verse 21, I used to quit reading about there, but verse 21 still applies. It says this, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit, in his spirit, Have you ever rejoiced in your spirit before your mind got a hold of what you were doing? You're just so happy, you know, praise the Lord, and you're happy, and your mind kind of said, come on, lean in on it. What you so happy about? Come on now. See, the mind will never get converted. You're going to be transformed by the renewing your mind. There are too few renewed minds, or we only partly renew them. But my spirit got all excited about it. My mind didn't know what was going on. I didn't understand it. And I was up early in the morning praising the Lord. It was dark, and I wondered if anybody was something. But my spirit rejoiced. Now, that's what Jesus did. He rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, these things from the wise and prudent. The wise are mentally wise, prudent are overly wise, the conceited kind. And hast revealed them unto babes. That's like thee and me, ordinary Christians. When you get to where you don't consider yourself to be still learning, you're out of the babe stage, you better go back. Thou hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so seemeth good in thy sight. In other words, he said, there are a lot of great men, and there are great men of God, who do not believe that a Christian can have a demon. It's impossible to say, and yet God is using them in evangelism, in healing, you name it, lots of ways. And they would argue with you all night and day two if you'd stay with them, that no Christian can have a demon. And their demons will get so mad at you, they'd pick up the Bible to hit you. Usually when you argue with a man who says, no, or a woman, no Christian can have a demon, it won't be long until you're dealing with the demon. You're not dealing with the person. Try it, you'll find it to be true. I'm glad to say that Billy Graham has cast demons out of people. I had an article that he had written in which he told about casting demons out of a movie star. Pearl and I cast them out of a movie star. They're the same as we are, folks. And he said, I was afraid I didn't lay hands on him, but he said the man was changed and was different. And then he said, every minister ought to be casting demons out of people. I really appreciated that and thank the Lord for it. Now, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and what? And greater works than these, because I go to the Father. Who gets the glory? Jesus, because he went to the Father. But now, and it's not until he went to the Father we could do them. How did Jesus do the deeds? How did he do the miracles? By the Holy Spirit. Not because he was Jesus, Son of God. He did everything by the Holy Spirit. What should you and I do? By the Holy Spirit. When you do it, no wonder he said, greater works. How can it be greater? Because he's gone to the Father, he's interceding, he's right there at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and the Father's there on the throne, the Holy Spirit is here. You better get well acquainted with him. You better get to know, to hear his voice, to know when he leads you, when he says go, when he says stop, when he says yes, when he says no, when he says the demon is such and such. Let the Spirit do it. Let God do it. Get a lot of the flesh out of deliverance. Keep away from the flesh, and you'll find that it goes smoother. You'll last longer, I promise you. I'm only 68 years old, but I hope to live a lot longer. And I know if I kept on doing deliverance the way we started it, I wouldn't be here now. Great day. All right. It can be rough, and I tell by your laughs, you know good and well what I'm talking about. Now, there's more of that I like to talk, but I must get into the occult. Because, well, demons here are demons. They will affect your emotions. They have emotions. The Bible says the devil believes also in trembles. They have intelligence, Acts 19. They have a will, Matthew 12. They have knowledge, Mark 1. The demons are evil, unclean, foul, according to the word of God. They have desires. They are powerful. They have self-awareness. All demons have names. Every demon has a name. You come against a demon and you say your name, and the demon says, my name is XYZ. Or he says, my name is 21465. I was working with a man one time, or was sitting in on it, and the demon says, my name is 4581012, something like that. And he looked at me and said, do you know what that means? I said, yeah, it means it's lying to you. They don't have numbers, but they do have names. And if you get the right name, that's what they do. A demon of anger, guess what he does? Makes a person angry. Guess what a demon of lying does? He lies. So do all the rest of them. Beware about taking what they say. Well, but don't ever forget, the Bible says, the reason the Son of Man appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Demons are the works or the servants of the devil. Now it's the occult. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 18. While you're turning, and I'm turning, we were holding a deliverance conference one time, and some person, I won't tell you that it was a lady because you'd know then. So a person said to another person, "Why, that preacher can't cast out demons." She said, "Why not?" She said, "Why, he has to wear glasses." I guess she thought anybody who has to wear glasses doesn't have enough faith. And so I've taken them off four or five times, and I still have them. And I'm not questioning God on them any longer. One of the four or five people who did it, Hilda Stout, who had had to wear glasses since she was in grade school, she took hers off and never did take them and put them back on again. She had nearsightedness and astigmatism. She never put them back. My wife said to me, "I know why the Lord didn't heal your eyes." I said, "Why?" She said, "If you had, I'd have never been able to live with you, and no one else could have either. So maybe that's why I have it. It keeps me humble, or helps to." Deuteronomy chapter 18. Look at verse 9. Now I'll read through it, and then I'll go back and tell you, because we're talking about the occult. "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that niggeth his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or the use of divination, an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination of the Lord. And because of these things, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." Drive out who? Drive out the people who have the demons. Then he says, "Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God," mature, grown up spiritually. "For these nations thou shalt possess, hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do." Read the Old Testament through, and you'll find that continually God was coming against the people, trying to straighten them out from their association and their working with demons, and letting the devil and demons and idolatry rule their lives. Next verse, 15. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto thee. Unto him ye shall hearken." Who was that? That was Jesus. I used to read this text and not go that far. Don't forget to read on past what you used to read. Sometimes God has something to teach you. That's Jesus. He said, "In the name of Jesus, we cast him out." He's the first one to cast him out. And then every one of his close followers, he taught and used and been doing. Now I'll go back and we'll work on these things. Number one, "Thou shalt not be found, anyone that maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire." They would take their children, babies, throw them into the cauldron, a huge iron basin in which there was built a fire. And before the god Moloch, the Jews would leave the temple and come there and burn the children alive. Now, we don't do that today. We don't give them a chance to do that. We take care of it with abortion. Now, we don't, but some do. Anyone who's ever had an abortion, you have a demon of abortion, a demon of murder, and a demon of death. You who work in deliverance, don't forget to get the last from the death. You say, "How come death?" Because it dies in the mother. It's murdered in the mother, and the life is taken from them. We had a woman that, she went to a certain church in our town. They counseled with her, couldn't do anything, couldn't even get done. So guess who ended up with them? We usually get the ones, the hard cases. So they brought this girl, and the lady brought her. When she came, they told us, we usually tell people, "Don't tell us anything. I don't want to know anything about your history or anything about your life." People call on the telephone and say, "Let me tell you about it." I say, "Don't tell me anything. I have four tapes. Hear the four tapes. After you hear the four tapes, then make an appointment." And beloved, when they come to you and they haven't given you their life history, and the Holy Spirit tells you, "Is that an abortion?" That's all she wrote. If you tell them to stand in the corner on your head and gargle peanut butter, they'll do it. Because they know where you got that word. It came by the Holy Spirit and not by any other way. When you tell them that you committed adultery on your wife, they say, "How do you know that?" You say, "The Holy Spirit told me." That's right. They'll listen because they know where you're getting your facts. They know you're led by. And it helps. There are other cases when you need to ask them, and that's all right, too. Again, don't follow what I do. It's just the way the Lord taught me, and I'm not as smart as most of you are. So I do. Now, but the first is abortion. Many times you have to deal with that before you can get to the other. If this is abortion or unforgiveness, hate, bitterness, resentment, dirty handful. Many times if those demons are there, he is a demon, and he's in the spirit world. Oh, no. I don't have to come out. She's committed murder, abortion. She hasn't forgiven. He hasn't forgiven. Men could be guilty of abortion, too, you know, because they told her to go get the abortion. Whatever it may be. So we always start with unforgiveness, always. Hate, bitterness, resentment. Sometimes there are exceptions. We had one today. But as soon as you can, get to unforgiveness, hate, bitterness, resentment. Get rid of those and go from there. Check abortion. Check adultery. And then from then on, kitty bar the door. You're open to anything. But it's good to start that way. Don't get in a rut with deliverance. Don't try to memorize names of demons. The Holy Spirit knows all the names of them. Let him bring up the one. I believe that Holy Spirit will take them out in the right order. If this were the list of the demons, he might take the first one and the last one. He might take the third one and the eighth one, and so forth. I believe he knows which ones to come out first. Just like Jesus let the demons come out of the demoniac and go in the pigs. Why did he allow it? That he knew that there'd be less fault for the man and so forth to take them all at once. You who work in deliverance, wouldn't you like to be able to say, in the name of Jesus, demon of so-and-so, and all the rest of your demons, come out of there. That'd be nice. The day may come when we do that. If we walk in the Spirit like Jesus did, we'll know when we can do that. God grant that day real, real soon.
Hallelujah.
Though, then he says this, or, the second one, or that useth divination. Divination is fortune telling. Under that will come palm reading, Ouija boards, on and on, tarot cards, whatever, on the line of telling the future. Ouija board. How many of you have ever seen a Ouija board? Would you raise your right hand? Higher, can't quite see. Now, keep them there. How many of you have never played with a Ouija board? You put your hand down. Boy, what a crowd I've got today. Put down the rest of them. So, most Christians have seen Ouija boards, and most have played with them. You know where many, many of them come from? The girls' auxiliary has an all-night slumber party. The little girls, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, teenagers, have a slumber party. They start telling ghost stories. And then somebody brings in a Ouija board. And then they try levitation. And then they tell on and on. Someone talks about card reading, tarot cards. Many of them that come to us say, I learned that in an all-night slumber party, which you never slumber. And we got to playing with these things. You cannot play with the Ouija board. I don't believe you can stand and watch someone else play with that without giving demons of Ouija or divination. They always come from that. Or reading the palms. We knew this and believed this, but we haven't had a definite experience. You know, it's always good to be able to have an experience to match what you teach. And we're casting demons out. There's a Jewish woman we'd won to the Lord. We cast some demons out of her. And I was teaching on Deuteronomy 18. Are you looking? Would everyone please stand? Everyone. Now, be seated. I didn't do that. That's a stretch of your life. I didn't do that just to be doing. If you go to sleep when deliverance is being taught, you've got demons. And I saw one or two. All right. It's not the speaker always. Sometimes I blame it here, but the subject isn't that dull. All right, so we came to this thing. I was teaching about it, and the lady went like this in our Bible study, and I said, yes, Ella. She said, Brother Tom, I have a Ouija board. We play with it, but it isn't bad. It just tells us things about our family. It tells us good things, and we check it out with our relatives, and they say, yeah, that's what happened. I said, you got demons. She said, well, what should I do with it? I said, burn it. Be careful when you burn it. People have been hurt burning Ouija boards. So we dismissed the Bible study the next Tuesday night. She came back, dragging her Ouija board with her. I didn't know it, though. She brought it in, and the Bible study was being held in my daughter's home. She brought it in and left it on the dining room table. I was in the other part of the house doing something. It came out, and everybody, as many as could, had gathered around the table. They were watching. I said, what are you looking at? They said, a Ouija board. When I came off the roof or the ceiling, I said, a what? They said, a Ouija board. I'd never seen one. My wife had never seen one. And she's right in the middle of the group. She's sitting up and she's saying, well, how does this thing work? She was curious. That's how I got married now, you know. She's curious. She wondered about this guy, so she married him to find out. Sorry, darling. So she was watching this, and she said, how does it work? Well, the planchet was there, and Helen's husband said, you put your fingers down there, and I'll put mine up here. So she kind of went along with it, put her fingers there. He said, now ask her questions. They'd start asking questions. The thing started moving around, spelling out. How many of you have never seen a Ouija board? Good, bless you. Well, I better explain something. Ouija board is kind of square, as I remember it. I've only seen one in my life, kind of square. And going over this way, it's the alphabet, A to Z. And then going across this way are the numbers, 1 to 10. And you ask the Ouija a question, and that planchet thing has a hole in the middle of it. And it'll move over and start above the letters and spell out the answer. Well, they asked it, and that thing was really going to town, hot board. It moved over and answered questions and so forth. I said, you're going to get demons doing that. And they said, oh, Brother Tom. And they're all leaning over there, eyes like doorknobs. And I said, you better quit it. So I said, okay, ask Ouija where it gets its answers. So it said, they said, Ouija, where do you get your answers? And it spelled S-A-T-A-N. Only spells one thing, Satan.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.